not. Beatles.
Those circuses on the air.
When the president does it,
sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Johnny's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And now live from the Skyline Studios in downtown Chicago, my pal Dave Schwann. How you doing, buddy?
Up on the 18th floor, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago, and a beautiful view of the river and the Wrigley Building. Hello, Dave.
Hello, buddy. I've got a great story to start you out with today, because I know how passionate you are about this and the museum and everything that's downstate. 1862. President Lincoln, you covered this, issued the General War Order No. 1 calling for a Union offensive. That was the beginning of some pretty tough times in America.
Yep. 1862, you know, full throttle into the Civil War at that time. And that was leading up to what, you know, he had no choice but to get rid of his first general, General McClellan. I love the phrase. Only Abraham Lincoln could say this. General McClellan has the slows.
That's awesome.
Meaning that he was too slow in moving and not making decisions to move this forward, you know, and it ended up being a much longer protracted tragedy, you know, that went on for another 3 years.
1880, Thomas Edison patented the electric incandescent lamp, which we've been using ever since. Now it's finally, of course, changing to LED, but
I wonder what he would think of LEDs.
Yeah.
You mean it never burns out?
I have a guy that works for us that does some, you know, installation, remodeling work and so forth. And you got to explain to people LED, there's different tones of LED.
Yeah.
You can make your house look like a meth lab in about 5 minutes if you just don't do it right. I mean, the bright white light, it's like being in your basement in 1965. You cannot. There's different tones of light. And if you want a warmer light in your home, in your business, you got to learn a little bit about it, because it's not just about screwing in an incandescent light bulb anymore.
No, it's not. It's not. And I remember, Dave, my cousin has all kinds of family memorabilia, including my grandparents' list of wedding gifts. They were married in 1911.
Wow.
And one of the gifts was an electric lamp. And I remember seeing it all neatly written out in nice cursive handwriting. I don't know who wrote it.
Yeah.
But the word electric was kind of emphasized.
A big deal.
And I remember seeing that lamp in my grandparents' home when I was a kid. It was a beautiful piece of furniture.
I know over the holidays, I had my youngest son watch. It was just on TV. We were just flying through. And you know, it was Little House on the Prairie. There was the Waltons.
Yeah.
And he asked a lot of questions just watching. He's like, okay, so where's the, why are they lighting candles? Is that just, does it smell good? No, they can't see. That's not like us lighting a Yankee candle in the house. I mean, it's because that's what they needed to see in the house after dark.
That was your only source of light.
Even the street lamps, you know, oil and fire and whatever else. But then
you had people going around lighting street lamps.
Lighting
that was a job.
That was a job. And then the Waltons, same thing. He's like, why are people staring at the radio?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're paying attention to it because their face is facing in that direction.
It was their undivided attention.
That's where the sound was coming from. Why is it a big deal that they got a phone? Didn't they have a phone? No, there's only one phone, and they tied it to trees until they reached the house. So very educational, those two shows. I'm just going to tell you right now. 1924, the first ice cream cone rolling machine was introduced. 1936, the first players were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. That was the first class.
Yeah. And again, I'll talk about the baseball museum. There's something for everyone there.
There is. There is.
And it's not a huge, overwhelming building. You know, you think the Museum of Baseball History. Mm-hmm. It's not a big building, but that's fine. You know, it's rather spread out, and it fits very well in the charming small-town atmosphere of Cooperstown, New York.
But what you get to do is you get to go see your favorites, and then you get to learn about some other people that were groundbreakers and legends in the business.
Yes.
1956, Elvis Presley's first appearance on television. Now, what show do you think that was on?
It wasn't Ed Sullivan.
It wasn't Sullivan. It was the Dorsey Brothers stage
Tommy
show.
Tommy Dorsey. Yes, right.
That's right. Yeah. And it's rare to hear any audio. We have some of it. Let's take a listen.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Elvis Presley.
Well, get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Well, I roll my breakfast cause I'm a hungry man. I believe you're doing me wrong and now I know. I believe you're doing me wrong and now I know. Cause the harder I work, the faster my money goes. Well, I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 The way you won't do right, just save your doggone soul.
And there you have it. There's Elvis right there, his first appearance. I remember he also did, and let me tell you, listen to the Sinatra Hours, Dave, on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. to 9. Please do.
I'm hard at work in the newsroom.
The Sinatra Timex show was what was on back in 1960 when Elvis came back from the war. And his first television appearance after he enlisted was on the Sinatra
show. Didn't they do a duet?
They did.
They did Witchcraft?
Elvis did Witchcraft, and Sinatra did Love Me Tender.
But they did it
as a blend, they as a medley as, right, of songs, right, and right. It was classic.
Yeah,
and
I remember seeing an old clip of that.
And Sinatra did not, I mean, and this is not any news to anybody, but Sinatra did not like rock and roll.
No.
He thought it was something that was going to last just a little
Steve
bit.
Allen.
No, it was going to come, and it was going to go. And at some point in 1960, he said, well, if you can't beat him, join him. And, I mean, he reinvented himself in the 60s, Sinatra did, but having Sinatra on his show was a way, because there was a lot of stories out there in the press at the time that they didn't like each other, or Frank didn't like Elvis. And then coming together on stage, our arms around each other, singing together, kind of changed some of those opinions.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so.
Those fingers in my hair, that slide come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's a witchcraft.
Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
And what different approaches to music.
That's right. Oh, my
about
God.
That?
Light, night and day. Absolutely.
Wow.
Night and day.
Different backgrounds, name it.
Yeah, absolutely. 1967, the Chicago blizzard struck with 23 inches of snow, causing 800 buses and 50,000 autos to be abandoned. In Chicago, that was the blizzard of 67 when I was just a little tyke.
You were very little tyke.
Well, I was a baby. I was 4 months old, 5 months old.
Oh, yeah. The pictures that were in the papers that still today are amazing. You know, just looking up a major thoroughfare, Lakeshore Drive or an expressway, and seeing, you know, car after car after car. I will never forget the day that storm started. We went to school as per usual on the morning, and it started snowing so hard they let us go. Right after lunch, they dismissed school, and we walked home. My friends and I trudged through what was already had to have been 10 to 12
inches
of snow on the ground.
Sure, and I have to imagine school was closed week?
Maybe, a couple of days.
Maybe, at least. Yeah, right.
And ordinarily, it took my dad about a half hour to get home from work. It took him 3.5 hours that night. There were no cell phones. We were worried. There was no way that he could contact us to say, I'm okay, we're getting here slowly but surely, but finally pulled in.
Here in the Chicago area, we tend to think of this as our storm. Actually, it hit most of the state and even neighboring states. For a regional weather report, we go to Harlan Drager in the city room of the Chicago Daily News.
The snowstorm that slammed into Chicago's midsection has left a wide surrounding area in a state of near paralysis. For suburbanites, as well as city residents, the word is don't travel unless it's an absolute emergency. Toll roads still are in bad shape. Many other major routes and secondary roads are impassable. Down in the Joliet area, for example, U.S. Highway 45 and Illinois 102 and 54 are still closed down by 7-foot drifts.
This is lost to a generation, but people used to collect really key headlines from the newspapers. And I know we have a Chicago Tribune that I think my grandfather had.
I have a Daily News. No, I have a Tribune.
From the blizzard of 67, and then we also have stuff from the blizzard of 79. Newspapers don't last all that long. Even my grandfather has some World War II newspapers that my grandmother, and they are yellow, and they are brittle.
Sure. It's handled with care.
You almost can't open
because they'll break apart.
It'll absolutely break apart.
Yeah.
Something lost to a generation there. 1973, and there's a lot of TV premieres because that happens in the beginning of the year and in the fall. Barnaby Jones, one of your favorites, Dave.
Quinn Martin production.
I have to say, I was up late at night, and something woke me up. I couldn't go back to sleep, and I watched
Barnaby Jones.
How sad is that?
Who was his secretary?
Lee Merriweather.
Yes.
Oh, please, I remember that all day long. Absolutely. 1974, Good Times premiered on CBS. That was a spinoff of...
Good Times?
Yeah, it was...
All in the Family.
Maud.
Okay.
Spinoff of a spinoff. That was the first spinoff. Because Florida Evans, the character, worked for Maud at the time. 1976, Laverne and Shirley spun off from Happy Days and premiered on ABC. I talked to Cindy Williams, Shirley of Laverne and Shirley, about that journey.
We got a phone call, and it was Gary, and he asked Penny, he said, I got these two parts on Happy Days, these two girls who date the fleet.
I love your Gary impersonation.
I thought maybe you and Cindy could come over, take a week off, come over, play the parts. And Penny said, yeah, here's Cindy. And she put me on the phone, and he said, that to me. And I said, yeah, sounds like fun if Carl will let us go. And Carl let us go. And we went over and played these two girls. Oh, my goodness. We had no idea. Neither one of us had ever seen Happy Days. She hadn't seen it. And I didn't have a TV at the time. And so we just played these girls coming on. We were smoking real cigarettes when we came on.
Is
in
that
rehearsal.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Fixing each other's lingerie, pulling up each other's bra straps and doing all this stuff. And the director...
I just remember it was pretty damn sexy for that show to have well, I mean, you played a pretty cool role.
We had no idea. We were on like a family. We didn't even know what a family show meant. And we flicked our cigarettes across the stage and came on. And then Jerry Paris, who was directing, said, stop. And he said, you can't smoke. This is family hour. You can't smoke. Go off stage and begin again. And we had no idea what the heck he was talking about.
Just 35 million.
Family hour? What's he talking about?
Family hour and 35 million people watching this show.
And we just had no idea what he was talking about. So we put the cigarettes out, and we were chewing gum. We said, all right, we'll chew gum, and we'll have bobby pins in our hair, and we'll cut the checking each other's bra straps out, and we'll just come on, whatever. And so we did, and we did the show, and we went back to our little writing job, and then about, 2-3 weeks later, somebody called and said, they want to do a spinoff. Again, we had no idea what that meant, and it had to be explained to us what a spinoff was. It was like, taking two, waitresses and saying, you're famous. Saying what? I'm telling you, it took us a year to catch up with and get and say, oh, we get it.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We were so naive. And You know, I mean, someone asked me just today, they asked me about the accent on the show. I said, it was so fast and everything. And then it started and every cast member was from back east and they all have these, you know, Eastern accents.
Right, yeah.
And so I thought, well, I better have one too. And I didn't even have time to process that or think about it. And so I just adopted this sort of, you know, kind of bad, very bad New York accent.
It was thicker in the beginning of the show. Yeah,
it was terrible, terrible. It was awful, and I knew it. But I thought, well, everybody else has it. But we're from Milwaukee.
Yeah, right.
What the heck? You know, and I thought, well, Milwaukee, maybe they have, you know, those accents. Anyway, 13 weeks into it, Gary came down onto the stage, and I write about that in the book, and he said, Cindy, I want to talk to you about the accent. I said, lose it? He said, yes. I said, thank you. And that was the end of that. Penny and I had no time to process this. None. It's like being taken from, I don't even know, oblivion into like the Kleeglites. I can't even describe it to anybody. It's like, it's just, just daunting. Daunting.
Yeah. No,
you know? And then about a year later, it caught up with us, or we caught up with it, and said, so this is what it's like. And we were famous, and it's just like, oh my God. And people ask me, what's it like to be famous? It's like everything you think it is. It's just like overwhelming, fabulous, thrilling, daunting, you know, a little frightening, and wonderful.
All right, 1979, and it was another big favorite of yours, Dave. The Dukes of Hazzard premiered on CBS. Roscoe P. Coltrane and the boys.
Oh, yes.
Boss Hogg and the whole gang. 1984, Michael Jackson is burned during filming a Pepsi commercial. I think that was maybe for the Super Bowl, because it was leading up to the Super Bowl. He's filming all these Pepsi commercials.
It was
burned pretty bad.
He was, and that was supposed to be... Oh, what was the song in Thriller? Well, the Thriller, you know, the werewolf changing over.
Yeah.
That whole scene there. But yes, that's how that happened.
1986, Super Bowl XX, the Chicago Bears beat the New England Patriots 46-10 in New Orleans. Who was the MVP?
The MVP was probably Walter.
It was Richard Dent.
Was it Richard Dent?
It was Richard Dent.
Okay, this is why we learn things on this
That's
show.
That's exactly
but
right.
Dave, I'll never forget standing right out here.
Yeah.
We're looking at the Michigan Avenue Bridge here as we speak.
Yep.
It was so cold that night.
Oh, yeah.
I was out all night covering that celebration.
I was going to say, where were you? Like, tell me where you were.
It was right out on Michigan Avenue Bridge, out in front of Tribune Tower, up the street, all night. All night.
January 26, 1986.
And I was so keyed up the next day, I said, I have to see the victory parade.
Absolutely. Did you say you wanted to hear a little Super Bowl shuffle? Let's take a listen,
Dave.
We are the
Bears shuffling crew. Shuffling on down. Good for you. We're so bad. We know we're good.
They call me sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Mouse Mance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shop.
This is Speedy Willie, and I'm world class. I like running, but I love to get the pass. I practice all day and dance all night. I gotta get ready for the Sunday fight. Now, I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. I dance a little funky, so watch me, girl. There's no one here that doesn't like me. My Super Bowl shuffle will set you free.
Ah, that's an American classic, isn't it?
We are the Bears, shuffling crew.
I think I had a 45 and a 12-inch single. Remember the 12-inch,
the big extended mixes
and stuff? Had that as well. Last thing on our list today, 2006, Western Union discontinued its use of telegram service. So that was already quite some time ago. But I was surprised that even into the 2000s, telegrams were still being used.
Probably some sort of a romantic thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
At that point?
You know, a guy would send his girl, maybe not a wedding proposal,
yeah,
but, you know, just to be different and something memorable.
I mean, 80s and 90s, maybe you're overseas, you're at war. Maybe that's the only
that
way
would
to communicate
be also,
at the time.
Yes, on a much more profound note. That's right.
Dave, always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, pal.
You too, Dave. See ya.